Fred Film Radio interview.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio, Benedicte Pro, covering for you the 20th edition of the Marrakech Film Festival. And today I have the pleasure of meeting none other than Viggo Mortensen, who has been invited to participate in the In Conversation section. Hello, Viggo. Anticipating a little bit on your masterclass, you're now a director, you're a screenwriter, writer as well, but we knew you first and foremost as an actor. And I was wondering how you choose your roles. You've gone from violence to other roles where you were more contained. I was wondering what was the criteria, the type of values you were looking for in a character?
So I played characters who were racist and violent, and I played all kinds. You play what's supposed to play. I don't believe in imposing my values on the role. If you accept a role, you have to accept it in full, you know. So, but yeah. I mean, I try to be in stories that, if there's violence or misogyny, for some reason you're showing it, not just to show it without any reason. But I wouldn't try to, and I know sometimes people, if they're playing a bad guy or they're playing whatever they're playing, they want the audience to like them also. It's like, I'm not very much a fan of that. The reason I like the movie I'm here to promote is Eureka by Lisandro Alonso. And what I like about him as a filmmaker, and what I like about directors in general or actors, is when they tell the story the way they feel it should be, especially directors. They make the movie for themselves. If you end up liking it, that's great. But Lisandro Alonso, he makes the movie for an audience of one. And that's not selfish, that's just being an artist. And that's what makes him original and unique. And that's what I admire.
This movie, Eureka, as well as Jauja, was co-written by Fabian Casas, the poet, and also a friend of yours. I was wondering if you could feel his mark on the script.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the thing that Lisandro appreciates in Fabian is similar to what I appreciate. Obviously, his unique voice as a poet, but also his sense of humor. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a very kind of strange sense of humor, and you see this in moments in terms of the way Jauja was written, and then also how Lisandro and I transmitted what he was writing, you know, just the maybe the awkwardness of the character I play in Jauja and the relationship with the daughter, this sort of, that's very Fabian Casas, I think, in a way, in spirit. And then in Eureka, just conceptually, it's a really bold way of telling a story. And I appreciated it. Yeah, definitely, you can feel it. But it's almost like it's what Lisandro does. He makes a family of the people he tells the story with. It's very important to him. And Fabian is an addition to that family, just like I was an addition to that family, starting with Jauja. We fit in, you know. You, when you work with directors, you hope that you're going to, or writers, that you're going to understand each other without having to talk about it much, but it doesn't always happen. You know, the job of an actor is really, and a producer, is to help the director get their vision across if you appreciate what they're trying to do. And with Lisandro, it's easy to do that. You know, we didn't have to talk very much during Jauja, which was for him unusual because he had never worked with professional actors before Jauja. And it was a different way of shooting, and the cinematographer Timo Salminen that he worked with on that and also on Eureka was more specific technically about things. And sometimes Lisandro was, I mean, he likes to learn, and so there's a strange group of people that are all quite different, small group, that somehow become a family and work very well together. And this is what he inspires, you know. He's able to transmit, to communicate what he wants without talking too much about it. And you do understand it from him. So that's a pleasure.
About your own work as a scriptwriter, in fact, I read that you said that you like to leave some room for the viewer to construct their own story.
Is it difficult in writing to leave that space and not to want to explain everything?
Well, when writing screenplays for the two movies I've directed, or even in the past, even before being in movies, writing poetry or editing poetry or short stories or anything, I tend to, like, there's too much at first, and then you just start taking it away until you have what's essential. Mm-hmm. how much can you take away from a poem where you still understand it? How much can you take away from a movie where you still understand it? In other words, will the audience still be able to follow the story if I take almost everything away? It's not essential. And you do this as you're writing, then you do this as you're shooting. We don't need that line. Now that I hear it, it's like we understand it from what you're doing. It depends how proficient the performer is, you know, like say Vicky Creeps in They Don't Hurt. You know, sometimes she would do something, I'm like, maybe, it's understood. We could do it with less. And certainly when you're editing a movie, that's what you're doing. You're trying to. And you have to be kind of cold about it, you know, especially if you wrote it. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be entire scenes that are really great, or moments that are really beautiful emotionally or beautiful visually. But if the rhythm is wrong for the movie, it's got to go. And you have to just do it like cold-blooded, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. Maybe because I've been editing books for a long time, and it's like, in the end, it has to work. And nobody's going to care that you have this great scene in the middle of it if you're bored by the time you get to it, or by the time you get to the end of the movie. So
you mentioned your work as a publisher within Percival. Do you find a strong connection between working with words and images?
I guess when you're asking that question, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe as editing the book company, my approach is similar as to in movies as an actor, which is I don't have a plan for a genre or a kind of director or a writer or anything. I just look for stories that are interesting or ideas visually that are interesting, and that's kind of what we do at Percival. We don't publish that many books, but things that I find I'll learn something from, you know. In a sense, I make books that I want to see and that I would like to share with friends or something. It's not always, you know, I mean, it's not the most commercially intelligent way to do things, but we try to make books that are different, that personally where I find that I and my colleagues there, that we can learn something from, just the process of making the book, you know. So, and I look at the movies the same way, you know. First the story, then who's directing, and then everything else.
Does your sensitivity as an actor help as a director? I mean, I'm thinking of an anecdote on your first film, Falling. You had a very tough day and your actor had needed a break. And at that moment where you were doubting whether you could go on, did you have your doubts being behind and before the camera?
Well, I mean, making movies, life also, but making movies is about, immediately is about each day solving problems, you know, overcoming obstacles. That's from writing it, but certainly to shooting it, is how do we solve this problem? I thought this was going to be an easy day. It's not, or the actor's not ready, or I don't know what I need to do here, or maybe we're not agreeing with the cinematographer. I thought we had a plan, and what are we doing? You know, time is going, but it's just about solving it, and the best way to solve it is to do it together, you know. It's a collective enterprise. That's what I like about movies. It's kind of a complete universe in terms of art, design, visually, sound, music, acting, movement. I mean, it's so many elements that go into it. It's very complete. But a movie is only as good as the compromise that the individuals make together. Mm-hmm. That it's not just about one person. Sometimes directors they accept no discussion, and it has to be this way, and they make the actors, they tell them every movement. Sometimes the movies are good. But I think that even those movies could be better if they had just allowed participation. Mm-hmm. That's my personal feeling. So I like that collective aspect. And, there's always going to be days like that.
You've mentioned the visions and the ideas of the people you like to collaborate with. But in your own writing and filmmaking, are there particular ideas, notions, visions you feel drawn to or compelled to explore at this point in time?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I don't approach making movies or telling stories in a conceptual way. Just sort of, it's more instinctive, you know, like The Dead Don't Hurt, the second movie I directed, for example. It was during the pandemic, lockdown, and I was writing different things and reading things and watching movies because there was nothing else to do, couldn't go anywhere. And I just started writing this story. And suddenly there's this girl in the forest. She has this rich imagination. And I thought, well, who is this person? Why am I writing this? I mean, I was thinking about my mother and things I knew about her childhood, but and the landscape she lived in. But I thought, well, who is this person? And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to construct it in a kind of what I did with Falling in a Way. You show a moment that's an important moment or a stressful moment, and then you deconstruct it and go back and say, well, what led to that? Like, so this little girl, I'm going to start the movie with this woman at the very end of her life and then figure out what happened. And I think we do that in life, you know, when something important happens to you that's stressful or that's significant, sometimes you're inclined or you're forced to think about, how did I get here? Or why am I this way? Why do I always react this way in these situations? And then you think back. You know, I think we're constantly we're not always in the present. We're, you know, somebody's face or a sound or a smell, and you're like suddenly back and you're 12 years old or you're 20 or, you know. We're constantly doing that. And so I know it's more common and not to jump around in time. But I think audiences now, in terms of cinema, because of TV series doing that so much, I think audiences are more, it's not just cinephiles that accept unusual structure and storytelling. And TV series, you see that a lot now. I think people are more open to that. So, anyway, but that's an approach I've liked. Doesn't mean it always has to be that way. The next job I'm going to do would be a linear story, actually.
So how would you describe your second film, The Dead Don't Hurt, in a more straightforward way?
It's a Western. It takes place in the 1860s, and the central figure is a woman. I guess what makes it maybe unusual, it's a classic Western in many ways, but what makes it unusual is when there's a point at which the male character, that is her partner, he goes away. He thinks for a short time, but as usual it ends up being longer when someone goes away to war or something. And instead of going with him, which is what you always see, you stay with her. You don't see anything of him going away. So it's really about her, I guess, in a way. And she's quite, in a quiet way, an independent person. Yeah, well, you'll have to see.
After speaking about all these very artistic, sometimes minimalistic projects, it almost feels wrong to ask the question, but having played in Lord of the Rings, what do you think it brought to you as an actor and to your artistic vision as well?
Me, on a practical level, it was kind of like a really long, rich film school experience. I mean, like any filming experience, you get out of it to a degree what you put into it in terms of interest. To be on that long, long shoot with a crew that was mostly made up of people that hadn't had much experience until that point. I mean, by the end of the shoot, they all were very proficient. With a director who was exploring new ways of making shots or telling a story. It was fascinating to watch all the departments, or to walk in. I could walk in to watch them building these sets or making these costumes and wander around. And it was an incredible. It was like film school, really, and you're being paid for it, and which is nice too. But it was a unique. I knew even as we were doing it, I said, this probably won't happen quite this way again. Technology will evolve even further, and the practicality of being so long with this crew and reshoots and just months after months after month, it's probably not going to happen quite the same way. Maybe TV series it does, but it's a different thing. So I knew it was special at the time, and even more so now, I guess, looking back at it. But I just saw it as a great learning experience, and in terms of acting in it, I guess it's akin to being in a play that goes on for months, night after night, or a TV series character where you get a really long run at it, you know, just working on this character and it's sort of the behavior, your costume, your relationship with the other characters becomes second nature, you know, because you play it for such a long time. That's a great experience. For someone else, maybe that would be boring. For me, it's like, wow, you can really perfect it, you know?
Well, thank you so much, Vigo.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.